I'm going to be reading to you from Psalm 84, verses 1 through 12. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, and the early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord of God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Amen.
Well, today we conclude a short series that we've been doing through the summer on Psalms, as I've been here. Next week we will turn to the book of Galatians for a short series, 6 weeks, on what we call life in Christ. And Paul writes in Galatians, that's his first epistle, lots of interesting things that he writes in that first document. So we'll turn to that over the next weeks. But today we have Psalm, should actually be Psalm 84. There's a little, that's not Psalm 139, 84 as we're looking at. A quote from Henry Nouwen, it is the never interrupted voice of love speaking from eternity. And giving life and love wherever it is heard. When I hear that voice, I know that I am home. That's the underlined word I want to think of. I know that I am home with God and have nothing to fear. As the beloved of my heavenly Father, I can walk in the valley of darkness. No evil would I fear. I know that I am home. And so if we think of that image, home, what is our home? Where is our home? Over my life, I've lived in a variety of houses. So which house do I think in my memory, in my mind, where is my home? I grew up in the East End on Withrow Avenue, 300 Withrow Avenue, which is east of Pape, just north of Girard, East End kid. And it's interesting, when I dream about home, that's the home that I remember, 300 Withrow Avenue. I can remember it exactly, all the places, all the spaces, all the movements. That is what comes up in my head as home as I dream. Interesting. So whatever is that for you? What's your home? And what feelings do you have with that sense of home? Or house, because that's what's going on as we move to Psalm 84. Where is our home? What is our home? How does that connect with God? God as our home? Those are the ideas that we've got, and that's what Nouwen is talking about, writer in Spiritual Formation. When I hear that voice, I know that I am home. This psalm divides into three different beatitudes. And in English it translates as happy are, but the literal translation would be blessed be, a beatitude. And the writer is on the way to the temple. So this is a song of pilgrimage. So he and others are heading up to Jerusalem to go to the temple, which was this amazing, massive structure built by Herod the Great. That's the one that he's thinking of, the psalmist, right at this point. This amazing, amazing building. If you go to Jerusalem, the old city today, there are still sections of the outer wall, and each stone is beautifully carved and framed. That's the way Herod had it done, and that's what is going on. Now the writer, depending on when this psalm was written, is going to a temple, something like that, but in Jesus' day it was one by Herod the Great. This great temple going, and that's what the writer has in mind when he's thinking of God's house. And so on the way, and they're singing songs, and they're talking with one another, and they're thinking of going to God's house. Even as we gather today in this church, and Christians all around the city are going to some church. My friend Ivan Gutierrez in Cochabamba, his service is at the same time. They go and they're gathering right now. They're there singing and praising the same thing. So the first beatitude, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. And that comes up at the end of this first section, verse 4. First couple of verses I'll reread. How lovely is your dwelling place, your house, O Lord of hosts. My soul long, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord, this temple structure. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow, a little bird, finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, here's the beatitude. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. First beatitude. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. So a couple of comments on the text. The word Lord of hosts is used four times through this psalm. O Lord of hosts, God who is creator, who's created all the stars, all the galaxies. Last year when Rob and I were in Little Cayman, it's a little island, 100 miles from Grand Cayman, it's just off on its own, and when you come down the dock at night, the Milky Way was just, O Lord of hosts, wow! God is praised as, O Lord of hosts, the living God. Not living as opposed to dead, but living meaning the one who gives life. Living as the source of life. He is the God who gives life to us. A house where even the sparrow finds its nest. And maybe the psalmist is thinking that you and I maybe are that little sparrow. In front of this God of hosts and all the galaxies with millions of stars in each one, little old us, we are the sparrow, we are the little bird that finds rest in God's house, rest in God's universe. So the psalmist begins. Someone has cited this, the sovereign power of the universe in the center of my personal life. So that's a quote. God is the sovereign power of the universe in the center of my personal life. I liked that when I saw that. The sovereign power of the entire universe, the Lord of hosts, but he is the center of my personal life. So it raises the question, I mean, you know, how do we structure our life? What gives it meaning? How does it connect together? What frames it? And from the biblical perspective, it's God is the center. We're going to sing that song later, Jesus be the center. God is the center. And everything else connects. So God and Jesus, the divine family, is the hub. It's the hub of the wheel. And everything else connects to that hub. And that gives us a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose, a sense of connection, a sense of drawing things together. If it is not God, then what is that? What's that center in your life and my life? And for the psalmist, the response to this is one of gratitude. I'm grateful. I give thanks because God is the God who is there for me and shapes my life. It's an intentional choice. So when we live our life, do we just see the problems? Are we playing the role of victim? Everybody's out to get me. I'm the victim of my life. Or can I see it and give thanks for all of those things I can? I'm grateful for God's goodness, his hand in my life. even in the midst of the circumstances which are challenging. A number of our people in our church are struggling with health issues. Grave, less grave. Where is God in the midst of all that for you and for me to give choices of thanks and praise? I started a class teaching this week up at Tyndale called Christian Life and Discipleship. There are 10 students on Thursday night. Interesting group of students who are from all over the world, really. That's who they are, where they're from. And I had one student who was giving thanks for something. She's from Jamaica. And I know we have a variety of people from Jamaica. And she made a line that I thought was really neat. She says, "When I think back on my life, and I think of the strong heat that comes in Jamaica, strong sun of the Caribbean Sea," she says, "I used to walk in the shadow of my mom, because when I stayed in that shadow, I would be sheltered from the heat. So when we walked, I would stay in the shelter." Cynthia, did you ever do that? Did you guys ever do that? Yeah. Yeah, did you? Yeah? Other hot countries. Where they intentionally, I thought, "Now that's a great image. I'm going to use that somewhere. I like that line. I walk in the shelter of my mom who protects me from the heat." And so that connection with her mom, you know, is very much central in her life. And she, God is the protector, and her mom was the protector, sheltering me even from the sun. From a northern country, I never did that. I don't ever remember walking in the shadow of my mother. That was a problem, probably, in my life. I should have done more of that. But down there, staying in the shelter. So happy are those, happy are, blessed are those who are making God the center of their lives. That's what the writer is beginning with. So do we praise, do we give thanks to God for all of his goodness? Second beatitude starts right up in verse 5. Happy are those whose strength is in you, and whose hearts are the highways to Zion. We'll carry on. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Strength. They go from strength to strength, the psalmist writes. Paul writes in the New Testament, we go from grace to grace, that we have assurance and confidence. So what is faith? Faith in a biblical sense is to have assurance in time and in space, in the specifics of your life going on right now. Faith is walking in assurance that God travels with me. That's what faith is. I'm not on my own. I don't know where things are going. I don't know what I'll work out in the next few weeks, whatever it might be. But faith is I walk in assurance and confidence that God is with me as I tread that way. That's the idea of biblical faith. So faith can be a jargon word, religious word. But what it means is in real space, in real time, I have confidence that God is with me. Even in, as the writer says, the valley of Baca. So the valley of Baca was a thirsty, arid place. A desert place. So even when I go through that desert place, so it symbolizes all the hardships, all the challenges, whatever you would say if you were keeping a list, what's a challenge in my life right now? What's a difficulty? What would I call a difficulty in my life right now? That's what the psalmist is meaning when he or she says, Valley of Baca. I'm in the Valley of Baca. So what is your Valley of Baca? What is my Valley of Baca? And the psalmist is saying, in that I can have faith that God is with me, who gives me assurance that I will be able to walk this journey, whatever it might be. Of course, I need to rely on the one who is my shield. And so it speaks, I would suggest, of prayer, because the writer goes on to speak of prayer, don't they? They say, in prayer, in conversation with you, the writer says in Psalm 84. Let's just read that. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. God of Jacob, behold our shield, our God. Look on the face of your anointed. So we go from strength to strength, the psalmist is saying, as we go in prayer. Conversation with God. So, you know, what is prayer? Prayer means speaking with God. And I would suggest a good way to begin is just to have conversational prayer. Through your day, have conversations with God, at least in your mind, that you're traveling with God. God is the center of your paradigm that you're working with. So be in conversation, include God in your life, even in the challenges, even in the hardships, even in the details. God is interested in the details of your life. He is the creator of your life, right? That's what the Bible says. That's our structure that we work with. God creates me. He is there for me. He created me in the womb of my mom. God knit me together. Psalm 139 tells us. We looked at that last week. God is there. He's the creator. If you create something, then you know all the details. If you write a book, then you know something about that book because you wrote that book. If you wrote a poem or a song, then you know something about that because you put it together. So God put us together. He is the creator. So walk with him. It's a good thing that he knows the details of your life and my life. There's no secrets with God. And so the writer says, pray. Be in conversation. If we do that, that is a discipline that will help us. So in whatever way we begin that, whatever way you pray, then you just begin right there. Keep praying. Keep having conversations with God so that he is more and more the center of your life and my life through all the different stages. Whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. God is there with us. He travels with us. Third beatitude, O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. That's how the psalm ends, with another beatitude. Blessed be, O Lord of hosts, blessed be is everyone who trusts in you. Give praise. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. We started the service by singing that. One day is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper, take a position that the writer is saying is lowly in the house of my God, than live in the tents of wickedness, even if it was a higher spot. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, the shield for my student who, as a little girl, walked in the shadow of her mom. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Happy is everyone who has faith in you, have confidence in you. The hub of the wheel is God, staying with God. So question, why is one day in God's presence better than 1,000 elsewhere? Why would the writer say that? We could say, well, it doesn't really mean that. He just means it's a great day. Well, one day is better than 1,000. One day is better than 3 years. In God's house. And one reason is that God is great. God is this sun. He is a shield for us. A sun gives energy, right? A sun gives life. There'd be no life on this planet if we didn't have a sun. We draw strength from our great God. Great are you, Lord. You are the breath in our lungs. We sang that. God is a great God. And we're invited to know that and live that and trust that in this great God who created you, created me, all of us, God is great. Psalmist seems to find joy in that. God is a great God, so I praise him. I come and I have a sense of God's greatness in your house, the writer says. Not only that, God gives us good things. James says, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every generous act of giving, every gift comes from God. Every good thing. You and I can say, well, that's not necessarily true. I go out and do all kinds of good, effort, and I make things happen, so I enjoy this. God is saying every good thing. Every good thing ultimately comes from God. He's there for you. He's there for me. Give praise. Everything changes when we have that concept in our mind. That God is a good God who provides for me. No matter where, young, old, doesn't matter. He's there and he still has his eye on you. You are still the sparrow that finds a place in God's house. You can imagine the writer, right, walking around the temple, this massive structure, and he sees a little bird, and the bird is up there, and it's got the little nest right there. And the writer says, yes, even the birds find shelter in God's house. And so God is with us. This hurricane is going right over the Bahamas right now, right? What if you and I are in the midst of that hurricane? What are we depending on here now? And this God, who is the force behind the hurricane, still has his eye on you and me in the midst of all this, trusting and depending and leaning on God in whatever hurricane's going on in your life right now. Any hurricane going on in your life? You don't need to put up your hand, but there are. I know it. There are hurricanes. Tornadoes. Where do we go in those situations? God is great, God is good, and God is dependable. It was Ambrose who wrote this, "Be a fish that passes through the storms of life, and it ends with, and not a snail who carries the burdens on your back." Be a fish that passes through the storms instead of a snail that walks along slowly with all the burdens on the back. And of course, many times we're like the snail, right? Carries all the burdens instead of the fish. You know what? If you are in the waters right now in the Caribbean Sea and that hurricane is going right over your head, Category 5 right now, you know what? If you're 100 feet down, everything is just fine. From scuba diving, I know that's true. If you go down deep enough, even 100 feet, you're going to be just fine. The storm is raging up there, and you are like that fish that just carries on. You go up a little bit, and of course, you'll start feeling the surge. So what do the fish do who live up there normally? They just go down a little deeper, man. They say, hurricane number 5 coming in. I'm going to go down from 20 feet down to 80 feet, and I'll be just fine. Little fish like that. So be a fish that swims through the sea. Ambrose was a church father coming from the early centuries of the church. Years when there were many difficulties. Think 3rd, 4th, 5th century. Lots of challenges, not all the comforts that we know. Be a fish that passes through the storms of life. Why? Because God is dependable. I can count on God. I can lean on God. We think we can only lean on ourselves. It's all up to me. No. We have a Father, a Son, a Holy Spirit, divine family who works for us and with us. Mary Jo Leddy from Toronto writes, "From the leftovers of our loves, create a new heart, O God. From the pieces of our lives, recreate us, O God. Hover over our darkness and depths, create us once again as on the first day of creation." God is our home. He wants to be that home. But you and I are invited to turn to him. So I pray that we might be conscious, that we might leave this Sunday, Labor Day weekend, with the sense that God is there for you and for me in the midst of your storms, whatever they are, even hurricanes. God is with us. In Jesus' name, amen.